Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. My name is Penny Lacaso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel more of it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful happiness hackers, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. I make no apologies for the fact that you may hear some 13-year-old boys in the background making a bit of a ruckus, like an old person's term. I'm not going to use it. It's school holidays, and that's just the nature of the beast at the moment. So putting that out there unapologetically, I know many of you listening can probably relate. So let's get down to it. Today, I'm going to go deep on a topic that perhaps might feel a little confronting. It is a topic that I am deeply passionate about because I'm seeing the presentation of it increase at an alarming rate. What perhaps is even more disturbing is that those experiencing this phenomenon that we're going to talk about today have become so used to operating in a way that is toxic for both their mind and their body that they feel it is completely normal. And I am here to say it is not, and something needs to change. Now, I know I have used this quote before, but I cannot use it enough because I think it speaks to the truth of how we roll as a society at the moment. My beautiful trauma therapy teacher, Dr. Gabor Maté, articulates this magnificently. What I'm trying to convey in this topic today, in stating that the myth of normal is that we assume the conditions of society are healthy simply because we are used to them. A quote that opens a can of worms when we dig deeper into what is going on with successful professional women at the moment, particularly those who are mothers. Today, I want to talk about what I call the high-functioning, burnt-out woman. I want to shine a spotlight on what she looks like from the outside, looking in, versus what is really going on for her inside. Each and every day. I want to expose why it's a problem, not only for her, but for all of us in society. And I want to explore what we and she, if you are this woman, can do to intervene in a way that empowers her to make the shift that she longs for when she feels at the moment like she doesn't have the energy to do so. So let's start with what a high-functioning, burnt-out woman looks like from the outside looking in. She's the type of woman, when you look at her, you think, wow, she's impressive. She's got it all going on. She's a mum. She's achieved the societal definition of success, holding down a high-powered career, which she's clearly worked hard for whilst raising a family. She's likely to post images on socials that allude to what looks like a perfect life of career, family, and a sprinkling of the strive for self-development. She's the picture of the modern day woman having it all. But when we start to scratch the surface, what lays beneath is far too often a woman who feels a deep sadness and a disconnection from her true essence. Let me ask you, is it normal to feel like you're never present in life because you're constantly making to-do lists in your head around all the things you need to be doing that you're not doing by being in the present moment? Is it normal to have a relentless inner critic that is constantly reminding you of how you are not doing enough and how you should be doing better rather than acknowledging any of the progress you're making? Is it normal to not know how much is enough, leaving you striving for a goalpost that is determined by comparisonitis, a goalpost that just moves further into the distance as you get closer to it? Is it normal to walk over your body's warning signals? Signals like feeling constantly sad and teary, feeling numb and disconnected from yourself and others, and feeling exhausted no matter how much sleep you've had? Is it normal to feel like, and I quote, like I'm moving through life with a heavy chain around my ankles? I spend my week operating in robot mode only to get to the weekend to prepare myself and the family for yet another week in robot mode. It feels like a journey toward moving further away from myself and any joy in life. Is it normal to feel like there is nothing left in the tank for you ever? All of these indicators allude to the myth of normal that Gabor refers to. These are not signs of healthy and happy women. They are signs of women who have normalized operating in overdrive at the sacrifice of self. In psychology, we call this burnout. What I find most disturbing is that the women that present to me having normalized this way of being are the women we would look to pioneer a new frontier when it comes to gender equality, diversity, and inclusion. They are the female leaders in positions of power, but they're often too damn exhausted and spread so thin that it's just not viable for them to step into that role. We are essentially burning out the very women we need most to pioneer a circuit breaker that enables a sustainable and healthy path for working mums. Now, I am not by any means sitting here having a go at women. I am stating that the environment we've created, the expectations that this environment places on working mothers, and therefore the expectations these mothers have of themselves, are literally driving the rise of the high-functioning, burnt-out woman. Yes, it's an oxymoron, as if we look to how burnout is defined by the American Psychological Association, it states burnout is physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion accompanied by decreased motivation, lowered performance, and negative attitudes towards oneself and others. So yes, the performance of these women is likely impacted by their pervasive fatigue, but yet they still get a hell of a lot done, even though on the inside, they feel empty. They literally just walk over the top of their body's warning signals and constantly question why they feel like they're running on empty. Now, some of the key characteristics of burnout, according to the AMA, include depression, apathy about work, changes in your sleep pattern or diet, feeling lethargic, having a sense of hopelessness, disconnection between what you give your energy to and the person you actually want to be, a sense of dread about work, cynicism and irritability. Now, what's even more interesting is that the research suggests women are way more inclined to burn out than men. Great Place to Work and a healthcare startup, Maven, found that mothers in paid employment are 23% more likely to experience burnout than fathers in paid employment. And is it any wonder when one in three women and 60% of mothers with young children spend 5 or more hours a day on housework and caregiving? That's 5 hours a day, or that 5 hours a day is at least another part-time job, half-time job. Now, in 2018, researchers from the University of Montreal published a study concluding that women were more vulnerable to burnout than men because women were, one, less likely to be promoted than men, and therefore more likely to be in positions with less authority, which can lead to increased stress and frustration. They also found that women were more likely to head up single-parent families, and I see that in my work a lot with the women that are presenting, experience child-related strains, invest time in domestic tasks like we've just heard about, and have lower levels of self-esteem. And these are all factors that can exacerbate burnout.
Hey there, thought I would just press pause for a moment and ask you. Do you lay in bed at night wondering, is this it? How much is enough? And what the hell am I walking into tomorrow? Do you then wake exhausted, no matter how much sleep you've had? Do you feel like you're operating in robot mode, like nobody's getting the best of you? And perhaps you keep telling yourself, when it's all done, then I'll make time for me. But the reality is, it's never all done, and all you keep doing is moving yourself and your dreams to the bottom of your to-do list. Perhaps you long to feel more present with the people that you love, more connected to meaningful work, and just a little more calm in each day. If this sounds like you, I want you to imagine. Imagine how it would feel to bounce out of bed with the clarity, the courage, and the confidence to live each day in alignment with the life that you've longed for. If you're ready to shift from existing to living, reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel it towards injecting more joy, presence, and meaning into each day, Flourish Forward Coaching was created for you. Go to flourishforwardcoaching.com and book a free clarity call with me today. Now back to the podcast.
So why are high-functioning, burnt-out women a problem? Firstly, they are a problem for themselves in the context of their own mental and physical health. Operating in a chronic state of stress hyperstimulates the central nervous system, wiring the brain into survival mode, impacting one's ability to make quality decisions and think long term. This is why so many women, when they come to me, say to me, I struggle to focus beyond the day before me. I'm just trying to get through what is in front of me because I'm so exhausted. Equally, the risk of depressive disorders increases by 180%. Yeah, when a woman is burnt out. Type 2 diabetes and the propensity for that increases, or the risk of it, increases by 84%, and hypertension increases by 40%. And these are just a few of the byproducts, health byproducts, of being burnt out in terms of the increased chances of you getting some form of longer term illness. Now, burnout, I think it's obvious, burnout is the opposite of flourishing. It's actually languishing in life. And this is what so many of these women tell me when I spend an hour with them on one of my breakthrough calls. The reality is, when a mother flourishes, a family flourishes. And when a family flourishes, the world flourishes. It's the multiplier effect that means together we rise, and the glue to drive that rise as a society is often the mother. When working mothers are burnt out, it impacts society's ability to flourish. Each and every one of the high-functioning burnt out women I have interviewed for my research share that they long to be a role model for their children when it comes to what it looks like to lead a meaningful and fulfilling life. Yet, the only thing their current behavior is role modeling is how to burn yourself out and not be present in the moments that matter. And that's not my words, that's their words. Think about the belief system this behavior informs for the next generation. What are we telling our children when we are operating in overdrive, when we are ignoring what our body has to tell us, and we're constantly exhausted? As I mentioned earlier, Women burning out impacts our ability to realize gender equality in the workplace, impacting the quality of the decisions we make as a collective and the ability for all voices to be heard and represented at the collective table. The cost to organizations of this burnout is huge, as it's hard enough to recruit and retain women in senior positions, as many self-select out due to not wanting to sacrifice their children and their soul at the expense of a high-paid job. I know I was one of them, and I can't tell you how many other women I know in the 9 years since I left this world that have stepped out, that were amazing women doing really damn well, but they just made a choice to say, I can't do this anymore. The cost just isn't worth it. Now, equally, when a woman burns out in a job, the likelihood of her returning to that job afterwards is extremely low. The question, that we should be looking and asking ourselves is, how do we shape job roles, leadership positions that actually empower mothers to show up in life and at work as the woman they want to be without burning out? I don't know if you've notice this, but one of the things I have spoken about on so many damn diversity and inclusion panels over the years is the fact that the way we structure bloody jobs remains unchanged. It is structured in a corporate perspective around a 1960s white Anglo man who has a wife at home looking after all the home business. Yep. Well, he travels the world and makes his success. This is not fit for purpose if we are trying to support women to have sustainable careers and still be able to show up as the mother they want to be. So what to do, my friend? Sorry, the passion. I know I can feel it in my voice comes out because I've lived and breathed this myself, and equally I just spend so much time with these women and I'm just like, it's enough. It's enough. Something's got to change. So what to do? Well, you will know that one of the first things I always say is awareness is the first step to change. So if any of what I've described feels like you, now, when I say that, you don't have to tick every box of what I've listed to be on the precipice of or in burnout. If some of this resonates, I want to invite you to perhaps consider getting the support you need. Now, the first step would be to get a burnout assessment. And I suggest this to so many clients because, as I say, when you've normalized this behavior, you don't even realize that you are suffering burnout. And I see this every day. So the gold standard measure for burnout is what's called the Maslow burnout inventory, which a psych term, we're not very good with making them very user-friendly, but it's called an MBI for short. But in order to get an MBI, you must be assessed by a healthcare professional. Now, whilst I, and this may come into some controversy, but I'm completely fine with that, I'm not personally a massive fan of referring people to GPs. I do it for people with burnout because they are a great way to validate the situation you're in through one of these burnout assessments that I refer to because they're the ones that can administer them, which I think is a really good start point yet to understand what's going on. So at least you can then get a medical certificate to take some time out and work out your next step. And here's the thing, by getting a medical certificate and taking some time away from work for sick leave in order to rest and work out how to restore yourself off the back of burnout is extremely important. You don't have to, with a medical certificate like this, stipulate what the illness is. That is of a personal nature. So don't be concerned about the backlash of being burnt out. So here's the thing. I say go to a GP and get a burnout assessment. Get a medical certificate so you can take some time out to create space and time to rest and work out your next step so that you don't stay in this pervasive burnout state. But the reason I have an adversity to GPs, and I want to say this so that you have the awareness, is so many women I know walk out of a consult like what I'm suggesting with a GP with a script for antidepressants. Now, or anti-anxiety medication. Now, I am not denying that people need antidepressants. I'm not denying that they are very helpful for some people. They have a place. But my concern is that this quick fix mentality that we have means that it is extremely rare, based on the 200 interviews I've done with these women, that alternative holistic and integrative remedies or therapies to come back from burnout are provided by a GP. Let's be honest, they're time constrained, okay? And I just want to flag that, because I think it's really important when we're exhausted and burnt out to collect all the information we can, to create the space to rest, and then allow ourselves to make an informed decision before we decide to just start taking tablets. Unless, of course, there is no other option. Now, the reason I stipulate this is because there is no one-size-fits-all recipe to a return from burnout, which is why this creating space to rest and explore the path that feels right for you is such an important first step. I meet too many women that are on medication long-term off the back of a GP consult that have never been provided with any other alternative options for dealing with how they're feeling. Nothing. Not referred to anyone or anything like that. And they're still on this medication years later and with no sort of path out of it. And I don't think that's healthy. The second thing I want to say is you are not alone. One of the most important things you can start to do when you feel like one of these high-functioning burnt-out women is to express your concerns and how you're feeling with trusted friends and family. Having a psychologically safe emotional support network is critical to your ability to come back from burnout. And the third thing I want to say is seek out the support you need. You are not alone, and there is no shame in any of this. Like I say, it's more the norm at the moment than not. So the other thing, when you speak to your GP, you can access a mental health plan from them so that you can work with a psychologist at a government subsidized rate that's here in Australia. So if you feel that's something you would like to have access to, raise it when you go to your GP for your burnout assessment and ask them for a mental health plan. I think that would be a great place to start to look at the sort of support you might need. You might, when you've had a bit of time to rest and digest and feel a bit better, want to look at group programs. You might want to look at some retreats, wellness retreats, if that's something you're into and have the budget for. Or you might want to look at one-on-one coaching options. All of these options are helpful in the context of resetting your foundations in alignment with the life you want to live and how you want to show up in the world without burnout. Like I said, there's no one size fits all, and finding the right person to support you in this process that has the right expertise, the right programming, is foundational to you being able to move forward in a way that feels right for you. Working with an expert to define your purpose and create healthy and sustainable boundaries that enable you to live that purpose and provide a solid basis to come back from burnout feeling energized by life is powerful. I also want to highlight that if you are someone watching from the outside, feeling like someone you know and care about is suffering from high-functioning burnout syndrome, take this as your sign to reach out to them. Create the space for a conversation where you can kindly express your concern, ask them how they are feeling, and whether they would like some support. It is never a bad thing to hold space for someone. Often that's exactly what people need in a world where it feels like there is no space. This is what people need to take those first steps towards change. And finally, I would say if you're looking for someone to support you in coming back from high-functioning burnout syndrome, I am here to help. I would love to invite you to book a no-obligation, completely free breakthrough call via the link in bio. And let's explore what returning from burnout looks like for you in a way that unlocks the woman you want to be sustainably. Until next week, beautiful listeners, thank you for sharing something I'm so passionate about. Happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans just like you to lead wholehearted and flourishing lives. If you enjoyed your listen, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something that resonated from this conversation, I invite you to take a screenshot and share your thoughts on social media. Tag me in so I can respond. If you've got a friend you feel needs to hear this episode, copy and paste the link and drop them a message now. It might be exactly what they need. Until next time, happiness looks good on you.